All right, we are here with Julie Levitt. She is a public awareness coordinator for the Family Crisis Center here in Rexburg. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, Elizabeth Smart recently came to Pocatello to talk at ISU. You not only attended the event, but you also work with this subject matter of sexual violence and domestic violence and all of those hard topics on a daily basis. First, let's talk about, is sexual violence and domestic violence a problem in Idaho?
Oh, it most definitely is. I think there are common misconceptions, you know, that it doesn't happen in our communities and whatnot, but really domestic violence and sexual violence, it can happen within any community, regardless of geographic location, of race, religion, age, gender. It really knows no boundaries.
You know, Elizabeth Smart, one of the things she said in her address was that sometimes people don't know that they've been the victims of domestic abuse or sexual abuse because they know the person or because maybe they aren't aware of what constitutes that kind of abuse. What are the signs of abuse?
Abuse is really defined as any pattern of behaviors that are used to exercise control and power over another person. That's when things cross into abuse. You know, if you can see one person behaving in a certain way to manipulate another person, that is considered abuse. And I think often we think of abuse as purely physical, you know, because that's what we see in the media and movies and TV shows.
The shove, the hit, those very grotesque, but nonetheless physical abuse.
Exactly. But there are so many other different types of abuse. There's financial abuse. There's emotional abuse, verbal abuse. There's digital abuse.
Is that where we put cyberbullying in that category?
I think that would be one form of it.
Okay.
When it comes to domestic relationships, it's a little bit different.
But okay.
Yeah, they're related. So yeah, and I think you brought up a really good point. When people know the person who is either abusing or harassing them, it sometimes is harder to understand because you already have this backup relationship with them, which in the case of abuse is like pre-planned. Like it's all calculated. You know, they're nice to you in one moment and then they're manipulating you in the next. And it makes it really hard to decipher until you can kind of step out of it and see the pattern and then it'll all click together. But I think, you know, in child sexual abuse cases, at least 90% of the time, the kids know their abusers. And so, and that's just when it creates this conflict within them because they don't understand this person that they know, this person that they love is doing this to them. And so they don't understand, okay, like, would this be considered abuse? And I think, you know, even in the workplace, when people joke about it, I recently read a study of like sexist humor in the workplace and how it's, or even just sexist humor in general, but how it's more difficult to address that when it's in humor form because
it's a work relationship,
kind of,
just keeping things light.
Yeah, or even if it was just a regular relationship, you don't know how to respond because you're like, okay, I don't think they meant it that bad because you know the person and it's a humor thing. Yeah, exactly. And so I do think, yeah, a lot of people probably don't know or wouldn't classify their experience as sexual abuse or any kind of abuse because it's not what they've seen in the movies. But really in terms of sexual violence, any unwanted sexual contact, including comments, is considered like sexual harassment, sexual violence.
So let's say that someone maybe is able to step out of it and realizes, I'm being abused, in whatever form that may take. What resources are available to them? What steps do they need to take?
Well, I would encourage anyone who is recognizing that they are being abused to come in to the Family Crisis Center. We serve clients and victims in Madison County, Jefferson County, Fremont County, and Clark County. So we have a 4-county radius. And to come into the Family Crisis Center to see what we can do to help you. You know, because nobody ever deserves to be manipulated or to be abused or to be treated like that. And, you know, as far as our resources available, we really have a plethora, and they're kind of dependent on what each person's situation needs because, you know, it's not a one size fits all, but we can help people who are in imminent danger. You know, we do have a shelter. We have a thrift store and the food pantry to help people with their physical needs because when you're going through that, you don't always have time to think about, you know, what am I going to make for dinner or do I even have time to go get groceries? So we can help with that. We also help with legal aid if we need to. We can help them get into counseling. To seek that professional help because victims of this type of abuse, like, they can't heal on their own. It's too much. We also can help them get into a support group that we have for victims and for survivors of this. We can help them find employment. I mean, we can't guarantee a job, but we can help them find opportunities for jobs and for housing. We have all these resources that I feel like a lot of people might not know about unless they come to us, and we can help them get set up with that. We also have Spanish advocacy, which has been so, so helpful for so many individuals. Yeah, we have one advocate, and she speaks Spanish, and she helps with those victims who come in.
So let's kind of shift to the other side of this, because there are just really kind of incomparable number of people that have been abused, but there's also a group of non-survivors, people that haven't been able to say hashtag me too, there are a lot of people that haven't had that experience in their life, as horrific as that is, and they may not know how to deal with that reality when someone comes to them and says, I've been abused or I'm being abused. How does someone prepare themselves to help a survivor when they are not a survivor themselves? Does that make sense?
It totally does. This is actually one of my favorite parts of my job, is getting to help teach people how to respond in situations like this. So the first thing I would say is to listen to them first. If they're disclosing to you, just listen and be 100% invested in the moment. Be present, you know, and be as empathetic as you can be. It's okay to say, and it's actually good to say, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Like, that makes me sad. Or, wow, that must have been so scary. Like, and then to ask, are you okay? You know, do you feel safe now? And then if they say no, I think it's a good thing to start talking, okay, how can we get you feeling more safe? Like, what steps do we need to take that could help you feel safe again? Or listen and let them know that you are there for them. And don't ask necessarily, you don't really have to ask questions. Let them tell you what they're going to tell you. And don't be afraid of silence. You know, let them explain what they are wanting to explain. Because sometimes I think if you want to ask questions, you know, like, oh, well, where did it happen? If they're not willing to go there, then, you know, that might almost re-traumatize them. But just let them tell you what they want to tell you. And then really, if you are going to ask questions, make sure they're not ones that would come across as victim blaming. You know, like, oh, well, he hit you. What did you do to make him mad?
And Elizabeth Smart talked about that. A lot of people say, like, well, why didn't you try to get away?
Exactly.
Why didn't you, you know, it must not have been that bad. Why didn't you fight back? Why didn't you do this? So not asking questions about shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Exactly. Yeah. Never the why didn't you, why did you? Because they did not choose for that other person to abuse them.
If someone is listening to this right now and is thinking, okay, today's the day, I've got to get help, or I've got to go talk to someone. Maybe they don't have, you know, a family member or a friend. Where do they go? Do they go to the police first? Do they go to the Family Crisis Center? What step do they take today to go get help, whether it be in the past, the present?
Definitely, I would recommend coming into the Family Crisis Center. We have an incredible team of advocates that are really good at what they do.
And I would assume confidential and
absolutely
caring and very sensitive to this issue.
Absolutely, yes. And all information that we learn is confidential. I will throw in a little plug, though, for child sexual violence. Everyone in the state of Idaho is a court-mandated reporter. So if you know abuse in any form is happening, you are required by law to report it to law enforcement or Child Protective Services, any form of that. If you have a suspicion, it's always better to err on the side of safety for that child, because here's the risk of when someone doesn't step in, is that this individual goes on believing maybe that no one will ever stand up for them, and they live through their own personal hell. And it would be so much better to find out someday, like, oh, okay, nothing was wrong, I'm glad I made that mistake, as opposed to someday learning, yeah, did you know that they were being abused for 5 years when you had suspected it?
And that's a scary jump to make, by the way, to say, I'm suspicious, this could be totally wrong, but it's always best to just go with that gut feeling.
It is. It really is, because, and I mean, especially when I look at this for kids, their entire life and the way that it's going to be shaped, if that can be happy and healthy, it's worth taking the risk. And it is hard because you really put yourself on the line there.
The alternative,
it's worth it.
Saving a child's life if there is something.
Mm-hmm.
And not just life and, you know, mortality. It's the saving a child's life as they grow and experience and learn.
Yes, their mental life, their emotional life, their spiritual life, their physical life, psychological life.
If there's someone listening that wants to get involved in the Family Crisis Center, maybe doesn't have time to come in, and maybe they're not, you know, licensed to have all the requirements, maybe they want to donate food or maybe they want to donate clothes, how do they do that?
If they want to make any donations, they can just bring them in to the office during our office hours, which are Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4:30, or Friday, 8 to 2. Just bring them on in. If they want a tax exemption receipt, we can hook them up with one of those as well. They just have to come in, let us know. And right now is a fantastic time. I've been so touched by the community. Like, we live in a giving community. We're doing our Christmas giving trees. And that's one way that a lot of people have gotten involved, and that's been really beautiful. And our food pantry is so full because of all the donations that have been coming in, which is fantastic, especially this time of the year. People really need that. You know, we're helping so many people with that because of all of these donations. It's so beautiful. And if anyone is looking for an opportunity to get more educated about this topic of how to respond or really what domestic violence looks like, I would encourage them to call the Family Crisis Center, and they can schedule a training for, you know, their organization. It can be their church group, their work group, their even if it was just a group of friends and they wanted to come take a tour, just call, ask for me, Julie, and I could schedule that and set that up, because that is one of the best ways to help people, is to know a little bit about what they're going through and then know how to help.
Wonderful. We have been here with Julie Levitt. She is a public awareness coordinator for the Family Crisis Center in Rexburg. She's been talking to us about some of the resources that are available for people who are victims of abuse, and also how you can help if maybe you're not a victim of abuse, and how you can really help people to find peace and joy in their lives. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.